back into the life of Abraham. And we come to the ultimate sacrifice. As we're doing a foundation study, I'm not going verse by verse through all of Genesis. If you want to look at a verse by verse study through all of Genesis, it's already up on the website. This is more of an overview. But we looked in the life of Abraham. We actually passed over chapter 20. You can read that for yourself, and you can see that Abraham was up to his old tricks again. He got near a different area, and there was a guy named Abimelech. And Abimelech was kind of having his eye on Abraham's wife, so he said, "Say you're my sister." Which was a half-truth, because they were related. But he remember he did that with Pharaoh down in Egypt before. But just as God had promised in Genesis 21:1, the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Which means, does anybody know what Isaac means? Laughter.
I thought it was Ishmael.
No.
Isaac, okay, he laughs.
Isaac means laughter. Yeah. And that's, and it was, she was called, remember, it's because Sarah laughed.
When
the announcement came that the baby would be born. So Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, "God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me." She also said, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children?" Remember, she was barren all those years.
Yeah.
"For I have borne him a son in his old age." So the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Mm-hmm. Therefore she said to Abraham, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac." And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. Trouble in the house.
Yeah.
When you got stuff going on, now who started that mess?
Sarah
did, remember?
She wanted, yeah.
She said, "I can't give you a son, but here, have Hagar, go into her.
Yes.
She'll make a son for you."
Yeah.
And now she's despising Hagar and despising the son. And she said, "Get rid of this slave woman," that's for the bond woman, "and her son, for this son will not be an heir along with Isaac." But Abraham was caught in the vice, wasn't he? It was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son, because Abraham loved Ishmael as well. But God said to Abraham, suddenly God steps in. Mm-hmm. Does it seem fair for this woman to be cast out?
No.
Does it?
Not to us.
No. But God intervened here, and he said, "Do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of Hagar, the bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called." But then he says this, "Yet I shall make a nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed." Mm. He said, this doesn't mean that I'm going to abandon them. I'm going to look after them, and I'm going to make a nation from Ishmael. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and put it on her shoulder, and he gave it to the boy, to Hagar, and he sent her away. Now, we think of Abraham sacrificing his son, which we'll get to a little later, Isaac.
Yeah.
But this was also a great sacrifice.
Yeah.
This was his son. He loved his son. He loved Ishmael. You could see how troubled he was with this. He wasn't ready to do that until God spoke.
Mm-hmm.
But when God told him to do this, what did he do?
He did it.
He obeyed the Lord.
Yeah.
And so we can see that God was calling Abraham to a deeper place of making even greater sacrifice and surrender to God. He surrendered Ishmael into the hands of God. He didn't just abandon them because he had clear direction from the Lord. And he knew that the Lord would provide. So I want you to think about that in terms of being a surrendered person. Here's the truth of it. As you grow with God, he's going to call you to deeper surrender, not less. Sometimes we feel like, oh, I've surrendered all, Lord.
Then you take it back.
Yeah, we don't let me take it back. He takes us deeper, too. He takes us to a place where, are you still holding on to anything? Are you still clinging to something else? I want you to cling only to me. I want you to trust me. And so I'm sure this must have been a very sad day. We don't get the details of Abraham's agony here, but any father who was to turn his son out into the wilderness with the mother would have certainly felt the pain and the anguish of it. But what did Abraham do? He obeyed God. He obeyed God. And so it tells us, she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba, and the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs to shelter him from the sun, obviously. And she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot, for she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. And so God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer and dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. So here we discover and we see the watch care of God. And here's something that we need to think about. Whatever you put into the hands of God, he'll take care of it.
Yeah.
He'll take care of it. Hagar was taken care of. The boy was taken care of by God. And sometimes things happen in our lives which we could never have imagined would happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
We can be brought to the place where we've been stripped of that which is most precious. And Abraham was brought there in this circumstance with the loss of Ishmael. But God was there. And God is looking after. Whatever those circumstances are, the faithfulness of God never changes.
Mm-hmm.
It came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phinehas, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, God is with you in all that you do. So I swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me, with my offspring, my posterity, that according to the kindness I have done to you, you will do to me and to the land which you have dwelt. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham rebuked Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servants had seized. And Abimelech said, I didn't know that was done. They'd done this. You did not tell me, nor had I heard of it till today. So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. And so I'm not going to go through all the covenant here in the rest of this chapter here, but I'm going to move to the place where he called on the Lord in 21:33. And it says, he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God, and Abraham stayed in the land of Philistines many days. Now it came to pass that after these things that God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac. Was that his only son?
No. But he'd already gotten send him away, the first one.
But he was the only heir. He was the only one that he had with him.
But, yeah, right.
He said, I want you to take your only son, Isaac, whom you love. You notice he says that. Whom you love.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham had grown to love Isaac deeply. And go to the land of Moriah. And offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. If anybody came to church on Sunday and stood up and said, well, God's told me that I'm to take my son, take him up on French Mountain and burn him alive, what would you say?
You're stupid.
Huh?
Crazy.
You'd say you're crazy.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get away with something like that today in this day and age.
No, sir.
No way.
No.
And God wouldn't do that either.
No.
He did that at this time, but we know the end of the story. But Abraham didn't,
no.
Did he?
No. But he had promised him that he would build a great nation, didn't he?
What's that?
He told him that he was going to have a great nation from his seed.
He did. He did. And we discover, actually, in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, we'll get there. But if you were told this, no matter how many promises you were given before,
wouldn't
it raise a question?
Yes.
Certainly would, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It would cause you to think, what? Is this for real?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what Abraham did. Abraham rose early in the morning. He saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
He's going to burn him.
He was,
well,
he,
in his mind,
he was getting ready.
Offered.
He arose and went to the place which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and he saw the place far off. What a place to look towards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a heavy steps must have been on that journey. As this call of God that was so radical and so extreme was in front of him. Abraham said to his young man, you stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship. And now what does he say?
We'll come back to you.
And we'll come back to you. Why would he say, we'll come back to you? Didn't God already tell him he was going to be offered as a sacrifice? Geraldine, what did you say?
He was going to have a great nation because, from his seed, he was going to live. He wouldn't have lived.
Isn't that what the Lord had told Abraham, had promised him before?
He had promised him.
That from Isaac, a great nation would rise?
Yes.
And so, even though it would seem almost impossible because he was told to go up on the mountain,
mm-hmm.
he was told to take the wood, he was told to make him a burnt offering, it didn't happen. Or he believed it somehow something was going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, I should have put this verse up there, but I'm going to read it to you. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says this. By faith, Abraham, being tried or tested, offered up Isaac. Yes, he that had gladly received the promises about his son was offering up his only begotten son. Even he to whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. And here's what it says. Accounting that God is able to raise up even from the dead, from which he also in a figure received him back. In other words, Abraham said, my son and I are going to, we'll come back to you. He knew the promise. He believed the promise so strongly that even this command from God didn't change the truth. Didn't change the truth that God had promised, so he knew that even if he had to slay his son, God would raise him from the dead and bring him back. Now, resurrections weren't common in those days, and they're not common now.
No.
He didn't have the resurrection of Christ to look at. But he believed God that much. He rested in the promises of God. Abraham had come a long way. You remember how he wouldn't leave Lot behind like he was told? He wouldn't leave his father behind like he was told? That it took him 2 steps to get to his own, get to the promised land? How he didn't trust God to stay in the land that God had called him, went down into Egypt and got himself in a mess? How finally the Lord, step by step, worked in Abraham's life and bring him to deeper and deeper faith. Do you think that when he was in Ur, if he had a son, and God appeared to Abraham and told him, I want you to sacrifice your son up on a mountain, do you think he would have done it then? No way. He couldn't obey God to deal with his nephew Lot and his father. So we think he was going to, but the Lord had grown Abraham to in faith and trust and dependence upon God. So God grows us in faith. He knows where we are, and he knows what we can handle, and he tests us. Mm-hmm. We saw just the other Sunday, was it last Sunday, I believe, there's no temptation taken us that such as is common to man, but God is faithful to provide a way to escape that we may be able to bear. God is faithful, and he takes us forward and by step in our faith. I'm glad that he does that. I'm glad that he knows our frame. He knows our weakness. But there are times when we are challenged where it feels like, Lord, you've gone too far here. Lord, there's no way that I can make it through this one. When Marie got cancer, I told the Lord, this is too much, God. I can't lose Marie. I can't lose her. I wept. I cried. But you know what? The Lord brought me through that. Not without pain. Not without trial. But he brought me through it. So we don't know what we can go through. But God does. He knows. And here, he makes that statement of faith here. That statement of assurance. And that we discover in the book of Hebrews here. That he accounted that God was able to raise him up. That's in Hebrews 11:19. Even from the dead. And in a figure, he actually came back from the dead. Because he was as good as dead. Abraham had raised the knife. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. And he laid it on Isaac his son. There's his son carrying the very sticks that were to burn him. On his back. He took the fire in his hand. And a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. He said, here I am, my son. He said, look, we have the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. Abraham knew by faith. Though God had told him, I want you to take him up there. I want you to sacrifice him there. Abraham knew the heart of God. He knew the mercy of God. He knew the compassion of God. He didn't argue with God. He just went and obeyed him because he knew that God would provide a lamb. He knew. So the two of them went up together. And they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there. Placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar and upon the wood. How could he have done it? Oh my, how? And the little boy.
Can you imagine doing that?
Huh?
I said, can you imagine being able to do that?
And the little boy there being strapped down.
Yeah.
What did the little boy say? It doesn't tell us. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Sometimes buts in the Bible are good, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right.
But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. Oh, I'm sure there was relief and joy in his voice when he answered the Lord. He said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And he called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. For it is said to this day in the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided. The actual words in Hebrew is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is our provider. What a wonderful title of God that we see here.
Yes,
the Lord is our provider.
He provides so well.
But you know, there's a picture here that can't escape us. That there was someone willing to offer their son, and a lamb takes the place. The lamb was offered instead of Isaac. And what can we say from the New Testament?
Jesus is our Lamb.
Jesus is the Lamb of God. He was sacrificed in our stead.
That's right.
We were doomed to die.
Mm-hmm.
But he took our place.
Amen.
Praise his holy name. And so Abraham discovered the faithfulness of God in experience, not just in theory. If we want to discover the faithfulness of God in experience, we're going to need to trust him. We're going to need to obey him and do what the Lord tells us to do. The angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice by faith. The rest is genealogy that brings us to actual the birth of Rebekah a little bit further down. You'll see her name in here. Who Bethuel begat Rebecca, Micah, Nahor, and eventually we discover the bride for Isaac through the relatives on the other side. So what I want us to think about here tonight is the ultimate sacrifice that God called Abraham to, and ourselves. He's calling us. Where in the New Testament does it tell you to offer sacrifices? Does anybody know? Anybody know where in the New Testament that God wants you to offer sacrifices? Hebrews?
What was it?
It says to offer the sacrifices of praise. Yes, in Hebrews 13. Yeah. There's another passage. It's one that I've quoted very often over the years. One I think some of you actually have memorized.
Oh, yes. Romans.
Romans, chapter 12, 1 and 2. I beg of you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your minds. You can prove it is a good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God.
Yep.
Present yourself as a living sacrifice to God. That's every day.
Yeah.
Every day, Lord, not my will, but your will be done.
Well,
Lord, you have my possessions, you have my heart, you have my life, you have my thoughts, you have own everything. You own my time.
Yeah.
You own everything, God. So let me encourage you to present yourself as a living sacrifice to God. By faith, Abraham did this. And he was called, it tells us in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 4, he was called a friend of God. the friend of God, because he believed God. He trusted God. In this journey of life, we are going to come across hard things. We're going to be devastated at times. We're going to need to say like Job sometimes, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Mm. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're not going to understand it all. We're not going to be able to necessarily feel good about it. I don't think Abraham felt good when he walked up that mountain. Mm-hmm. I don't think that he was skip-de-doo-dah all the way up the mountain. I don't think that for a second. He'd already known great sacrifice in letting Ishmael go. There were two sacrifices here. One was a preliminary to the next one. The first one was hard enough, but he trusted God with it. The second one was far more difficult, but he still trusted God with it. And God was faithful. So praise the Lord for the faithfulness of Almighty God. And this small, short lesson tonight on faith, on dependence, on the living God, trusting that the Lord knows what he's doing. This is a great lesson for us. It's not complicated, but God is calling you and me. He's calling us to go deeper and to trust him with which is most valuable to us, to give away our lives, to give away our possessions, our hopes, our family, our dreams, everything at the feet of Jesus. And we can trust him that he'll give back to us in ways we could never see. We have no idea, but we know God does, and that we can trust him. Like that hymn said, as I said earlier, that prayer, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. And then the statement is, oh, for grace to trust him more. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I am Jesus, how I trust him, how I feel him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him.